As it's printed in the bulletin, this our message this morning comes to us from Hebrews, finishing the race. Shall we pray? Most gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your traveling mercies. We're thankful for answering our prayers. Father, we ask that you will open up our intellect. Rebuke the demons from this place. May not one word be misunderstood, for we ask in your Son's holy name. Amen. Back in high school, I ran track. Don't ask me how long ago that was, but it was probably this particular race, probably was in 77 or 78. I'm probably sure it was in 1978. This was a race. I think this was the 220-yard dash. I wasn't that great in the 100, the 50-yard dashes, the 100-yard dashes, but I was pretty good at the longer distance races. And as we lined up, I was kind of upset because there are several guys I could not beat in the 100-yard dash, but this was the 220, so I was kind of nervous. And this was at Chisholm Trail Academy there in Keene. We had no track, so we had a makeshift track, and for whatever reasons, I was not paying attention to the instructions. I was running my mouth with another student, and all I could remember was, on your mark, I had to get down, set, go. I took off. To my surprise, I started out in the lead. Halfway mark, I'm still in the lead, and I'm kind of like, wow. Coming around to the last corner, I am still in the lead, and I'm excited. Got to what I thought was the finish line, and I like, yes. And I stopped. And everybody kept going around me. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. See, that race was not a race for endurance. That was a race to come first. I failed miserably because I think I ended up coming, what, second to last. But who was to blame? See, that race started out with instructions. I was not paying attention, and the object to come first, I failed because I had no one else to blame because I was not paying attention. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now imagine, artists does Christ a favor. When they painted him hanging on the cross, he's clothed. But Christ hung on that cross naked. Shameful. The Bible commentary expounds upon Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. And I read, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. That's some serious resistance. Imagine Christ in Gethsemane, agonizing with his Father. Not my will, but thy will. They say that the capillaries under his skin burst and he was bleeding because he was in such agony. Because he did not want to go through the cross, the pain and the suffering, but not so much the pain and suffering, the separation from his Father. But yet he arose and said, Father, not my will, but thine, because he knew what he had to do. He knew the race that was set before him. The Apostle Paul urges us to rid ourselves of the heavy weight of sin or impurities that have only the ability to weigh us down. He also encourages us not to get tired in this race, but to keep pressing forward, because the reward that awaits us is greater than the troubles we face in the present. A lot of times, and I can only speak for myself, there are certain things. In fact, I worry about the future from time to time. I can't even enjoy the present because I'm too worried about the future. And God tells us he has everything in control. Why waste sleep for today worrying about something tomorrow? Because he, as the song says, he's got the whole world in his hands. Philippians 1:6 says, and I am sure of this. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. See, we're realizing that in this thing called life, it's full of trials and tribulations. Sometimes we might take 4 or 5 steps forwards, only to get pushed 2 or 3 steps backwards. And it's a constant struggle day to day. Similar to our Christian walk, our Christian race, because we understand that the Christian race is not for the swiftest, it's for he who endureth to the end. And a lot of times we get frustrated and we may even take it out on God. Stop coming to church. Stop returning tithe and offering. We may even neglect to pray. But through it all, it's not about trying to cross this finish line first. It's just trying to cross over the finish line. This battle between good and evil, we get caught up. Sometimes we have this proverbial demon on one side, a proverbial angel on this side, and they're constantly going back and forth, and we're caught up in the middle. When I was a child growing up, we were allowed to watch cartoons. My favorite cartoon was Casper the Friendly Ghost. It was innocent. No one was getting hurt, no bloodshed, nor anything like that. But now, we now have The Walking Dead. That's what we have changed into. The Wizard of Oz, now it's Harry Potter. We see now that as we get closer to the end of Earth's history, Satan has ramped up his antics. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. It's hard to watch television now because you've got, and I'm not talking about cable. I'm talking about ABC, NBC, CBS. Turn on the channel and there's two men kissing. It has gotten ridiculous. But we realize that we're getting close to the end of time. I want to interject this because Not only should we be careful of what we watch, we need to be careful of what we listen to, what we find entertainment, what we eat, what we drink, because all of that's diet, including the fragrances, the clothes we put on. Great Controversy, page 88, tells us it is a law both of the intellectual and the spiritual nature that by beholding, we become changed. If you're working with currency, they show you legitimate money. So when you do see something that is counterfeit, you can recognize it right away. If we live in a society that's full of counterfeit, full of nonsense, then guess what? We will become, well, basically, we are what we eat, what we drink, and what we think. The mind gradually adapts itself to the subjects upon which it is allowed to dwell. It becomes assimilated to that which is accustomed to love and reverence. Man will never rise higher than his standard of purity or goodness of truth. The grace of God alone has power to exalt man. That image on the left is a bathing suit from the 19th century. I dare show you what they're wearing now. See, we see the further we go along Earth's history, the worse society gets, because it's all about the battle between good and evil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be. Because our biggest battle here on earth is with whom? Self. Because we have become so self-sufficient. Look at what God has blessed me with. Look what I've done. Look at me. Look at me. In fact, we'll get to that later when sin originated in heaven. But our biggest problem is self. We get so high and pious about the things that God has blessed us to accomplish, and we neglect to pray. We neglect to study. And then Satan gets us out on us on our own, and he beats us half to death. The children of God are called to be representatives of Christ, showing forth the goodness and mercy of the Lord. As Jesus has revealed to us the true character of the Father, so we are to reveal Christ to a world that does not know his tender, pitying love. In every one of his children, God sends a letter to the world. If you are Christ's follower, he sends in you a letter to the family, the village, the street where you live. Jesus, dwelling in you, desires to speak to the hearts of those who you are not, desires to speak to the hearts of those who are not acquainted with him. Perhaps they do not read the Bible or do not hear the voice that speaks to them in its pages. They do not see the love of God through his works. But if you are a true representative of Jesus, it may be that through you, they will be led to understand something of his goodness and to be one to love and serve him. Christians are set as light bearers on the way to heaven. They are to reflect to the world the light shining upon them from Christ. Their life and character should be such that through them, others will get a right conception of Christ and of his service. Steps to Christ. Because little do we know and realize that we may be the only Bible some people read. Our neighbors, our co-workers, those who we interact with while shopping, those who we may just happen to walk by on a busy street. You have no idea of the people that watch us. Through much prayer, you must labor for souls, for this is the only method by which you can reach hearts. It is not your work, but the work of Christ, who is by your side, that impresses hearts. A lot of times I get I get disappointed because I have several individuals on my prayer list. And I, through my human eyes, do not see or fail to see God answering my prayers. And I remember one specific incident. I'm kind of down a little bit. And the Holy Spirit had to take me aside and said, look, have you noticed this? Have you noticed that? I'm answering your prayer. Just not ways that you see fit, because God doesn't need my permission to do anything. He doesn't need our permission to do anything. God's ways are not our ways. He may be answering the prayer, just not ways that we're accustomed to seeing. Hold on. Our change is coming because we're still running this race. We need to put aside the weight that, or the sins that so easily weigh us down. Matthew 21, 18 and 19 tells us about the story where Christ was hungered. From a distance, he sees a fig orchard. He sees a tree full of leaves. And if you don't know, a fig tree that has foliage is a clear indication that tree has fruit. So walking up to the tree, Christ searches it from the lowest branches to the highest branches and finds no fruit. See, the time of figs was not yet, but in the orchard to which Jesus came, one tree appeared to be in advance of all the others. It was already covered with leaves. It is the nature of the fig tree that before the leaves open, the growing fruit appears. Therefore, this tree in full leaf gave promise of well-developed fruit. But its appearance was deceptive. Upon searching its branches from the lowest bough to the topmost twig, Jesus found nothing but leaves. It was a mass of pretentious foliage, nothing more. This warning is for all time. Christ's act in cursing the tree, which his own power had created, stands as a warning to all churches and to all Christians. No one can live the law of God without ministering to others. Some who think themselves excellent Christians do not understand what constitutes service for God. They plan and study to please themselves. This act only in reference to self, not for others, but for themselves do they minister. God created us to live in a world where unselfish service must be performed. But self is so large they cannot see anything else. They are not in touch with humanity. Those who thus live for self are like the fig tree, which made every pretension but was fruitless. They observe the forms of worship, but without repentance or faith. In profession, they honor the law of God, but obedience is lacking. They say, but do not. In the sentence pronounced on the fig tree, Christ demonstrates how hateful in his eyes is this vain pretense. He declares that the open sinner is less guilty than is he who professes to serve God, but bears no fruit to his glory. I'm not calling any names. I'm not pointing any fingers. Because if I were to point fingers, I've got four pointing back at myself. Even in our day, there have been and will continue to be entire families who have once rejoiced in the truth, but who will lose faith because of slander and falsehoods brought to them in regards to those whom they have loved and with whom they have had sweet counsel. They opened their hearts to the sowing of tares. The tares sprang up among the wheat. They strengthened. The crop of wheat became less and less, and the precious truth lost its power to them. Church, we need to be careful what we say about our fellow brothers and sisters. We need to be careful what we take to our fellow brothers and sisters. I am not familiar with this church, but I know back home in the Tyler Seventh Adventist Church, there's many people missing over nonsense. Something got started or said, they quit coming to church. In fact, the sad part about it is some of them are now going to church on Sundays because of something someone said. This image is separating the wheat from the tares. The old Negro spiritual said, God's going to separate the wheat from the tares. Not you, not me, because God can see fit that some of those tares can become wheat. He can also see fit that some of those wheat may end up as tares. Sin originated in heaven, as I mentioned earlier. Satan is where these thoughts originated. He's thinking. Some people say he had an eye problem. I this, I that, I can do this, I wish I. But we see where these simple thoughts that Satan, then Lucifer, manifested. These thoughts unchecked. Now look where we're at today. And we see the results of sin. If sin is not checked, sin, and we think, oh, this just a little white lie. But if sin is not checked, it rolls downhill and it snowballs until by the time it gets to the bottom of the hill, it's the size of a mountain. And that's just the nature of sin. We must separate ourselves from sin. But what is sin? Sin is transgression of the law. I will admit and I will add, God has allowed his spirit to indwell in us. We have a conscience. Anytime I may, well, it doesn't belong to me, but hey, I don't see an owner for it. That's the conscience telling us there, leave that alone. It doesn't belong to you. Anytime we go contrary to the word of God, contrary to the Holy Spirit, that is sin. James 4:17 tells us, therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. The mighty shaking has commenced and will go on, and all will be shaken out who are not willing to take a bold and unyielding stand for the truth and to sacrifice for God and his cause. Check your interest. Check your bank account. If you are heavily invested in the stock market, where your heart is, it is what it is. I didn't, you know, I'm just an innocent bystander. I'm just a referee. I call it as I see it. But where we store our treasure, that's where your heart is. And the shaking, sadly to say it, it is going on now. Some will not stand the shaking. I just pray it will not be you and it will not be me. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Proverbs 29, 18. Because I think I was rebaptized in 2014, if I'm not mistaken. I thought that was going to be the beginning of a new life, new challenges. But you have to realize the more effort you put towards God, guess what? The more effort Satan puts on your soul. Because Satan doesn't want to see anyone saved. This race we're running, he'll put a backpack on your back and he'll start weighing it down. And Satan is so clever because he'll get you wrapped up in stuff that seems innocent. But then once you start to feel the burden, and then he'll turn the script and then blame you for the condition that you're in. And then you'll turn in return, blame God. Romans 8, 35, 39. Let's read that together. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, Christ, the image that I showed earlier, agonizing because he did not want to endure the pain, the suffering, and the pain of separation. We have to realize that we're also subjects on trial for the universe because Christ's character was attacked. God's character was attacked. God's not going to put us through something if he's not going to aid us to get through it. We holler, woe is me, this burden's too much for me, but it's all about me. Sit back and reflect, because God's not going to put more on you than you can bear. In the wilderness of temptation, Christ met the great leading temptations that would assail man. There he encountered single-handedly the wily, subtle foe and overcame him. The first great temptation was upon appetite. The second, presumption. The third, love of the world. Satan has overcome his millions by tempting them the indulgence of appetite through the gratification of taste. The nervous system becomes excited and the brain power enfeebled, making it impossible to think calmly or rationally. The mind is unbalanced. Its higher, nobler faculties are perverted to serve animal lust, and the sacred, eternal interests are not regarded. When this object is gained, Satan can come with the two other leading temptations and find ready access. His manifold temptations grow out of these three great leading points. This past week, I'm not sure what the situation was, but I was being tempted and I kind of halfway had my mind made up. I was going to do it anyway because it felt good. It looked good. It seemed good. But then Angel had to. Hey, look. Have you thought about praying about it? Because that's Satan's job. His job is to present sin as a delight, as a pleasure, because he's not going to tempt you with something that If sweet or sugar your weakness, he's not going to come at you with Big Franks. He's going to come at you with a lemon meringue pie. Trust me. He's going to hit you with something that you love. And we must recognize that and immediately ask God for strength. Presumption is a common temptation, and as Satan assails men with this, he obtains the victory 9 times out of 10. Those who profess to be followers of Christ and claim by their faith to be enlisted in the warfare against all evil in their nature frequently plunge without thought into temptations from which it would require a miracle to bring them forth unsullied. Meditation and prayer would have preserved them and led them to shun the critical, dangerous position in which they placed themselves when they gave Satan the advantage over them. The promises of God are not for us rashly to claim while we rush on recklessly into danger. Violating the laws of nature and disregarding prudence and the judgment with God has endowed us. This is the most flagrant presumption. The thrones and kingdoms of the world and the glory of them were offered to Christ if he would only bow down to Satan. Never will man be tried with temptations as powerful as those which assailed Christ. Satan came with worldly honor, wealth, and the pleasures of life, and presented them in the most attractive light to allure and deceive. Christ's example is before us. He overcame Satan, showing us how we may also overcome. Christ resisted Satan with scripture. He must have had recourse to his own divine power and used his own words, but he said, "It is written." If the sacred scriptures were studied and followed, the Christian would be fortified to meet the wily foe. When the religion of Christ rules in the heart, conscience approves and peace and happiness reign. Perplexity and trouble may surround, yet there is light in the soul. Submission, love, and gratitude to God keep sunshine in the heart through the day may ever be so cloudy. Now, I'm skipping because of the shortness of time. As men seek to come into harmony with God, they will find that the offense of the cross has not ceased. Principalities and powers and wicked spirits in high places are arrayed against all who yield obedience to the law of heaven. Therefore, so far from causing grief, persecution should bring joy to the disciples of Christ, for it is evidence that they are following in the footsteps of their master. I'm not sure if you're familiar at the scene of Calvary. Satan and his imps were walking through the crowd, inciting the crowd. Because Satan knew that if Christ had died upon the cross, his kingdom would have come to an end. He tried everything in his power to get Christ to come down off that cross. And guess what? When you vow to eat healthier, when you vow to study your Bible, when you vow to get closer to God, guess what? He does the same thing to you. See, when Stephen was being stoned to death, what was he doing? He was praying. When martyrs were being torn apart by lions, they were praying, singing hymns. But yet, we don't want to do the will of God because I don't want to go to jail. I like my freedom. Satan tempts us with, well, you know, if you give out these Bible studies or, you know, if you knock on that door, you might get arrested. But we realize that those that spread this message before us, they did not care for their life or their safety, because If they were to die in Christ, guess what? The next thing they would see is seeing him coming in the clouds of glory. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
You're
watched that video probably 50, 60 times, and it still hits me every time I see it. But this race that we're running, we don't have to run it in our own strength. We have a big brother named Jesus who's run this race before us. He's just waiting for us to cast our cares upon him. Paul knew that his warfare against evil would not end so long as life should last. Ever he realized the need of putting a strict guard upon himself that earthly desires might not overcome spiritual zeal. With all his power, he continued to strive against natural inclinations. Ever he kept before him the ideal to be attained, and this ideal he strove to reach by willing obedience to the law of God. His words, his practices, his passions, all were brought under the control of the Spirit of God. That's all it takes. Put it all and give it to Jesus. He knows our likes. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. We're no match for Satan. Because if Satan stole one third of the heavenly angels, I know I'm not a match. And often two times I leave the house unprepared. I leave in a haste. And then that the rest of the day is a total chaos because I'm just pushed to and fro like a ship without a sail. I'm here today to invite you, if you have felt wearied, felt lost, felt defeated, give it to Jesus. We run this race because God so first loved us. Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would give us the ability to stop and listen. Give us the ability to ask for help. Father, you have run this race before us. Open our eyes, open our strength, because oftentimes we see that our feet are moving, but our feet aren't even touching the ground. You're carrying us. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the strength to endure. Father, we ask that as we leave this place, we will not leave the way we came. These and other blessings we ask in your Son's holy name. Amen.